with alcoholic cases, doctors, ministers, lawyers, and the personnel men in industry. I also talked AA to every friend who would listen, at lunch, at dinner, on street corners. A doctor tipped me off to my first prospect. I landed him and shipped him by train to Akron with a pint of whiskey in his pocket to keep him from wanting to get off the train in Toledo. Nothing has ever to this day equaled the thrill of that first case. Those 3 weeks left me completely exhausted, and I had to return to Akron for 3 more months of rest. While there, 2 or 3 more cash customers, as Dr. Bob used to call them, probably because they had so little cash, were shipped in to us from Detroit. When I finally returned to Detroit to find work and to learn to stand on my own feet, the ball was already rolling, however slowly. But it took 6 more months of work and disappointments before a group of 3 men got together in my rooming house bedroom for their first AA meeting. It sounds simple, but there were obstacles and doubts to overcome. I well remember a session I had with myself soon after I returned. It ran something like this. If I go around shouting from the rooftops about my alcoholism, it might very possibly prevent me from getting a good job. But supposing that just one man died because I had, for selfish reasons, kept my mouth shut? No. I was supposed to be doing God's will, not mine. His road lay clear before me, and I'd better quit rationalizing myself into any detours. I could not expect to keep what I had gained unless I gave it away. The depression was still on, and jobs were scarce. My health was still uncertain, so I created a job for